in preparation for the charge to Luke this morning, I will read two passages, the first being from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, which will give us the historical context for the diaconate, and then second, from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, which will give us the qualifications of the diaconate. So once again, first from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Amen. And now you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I will likewise read verses 8 through 13. First Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. "Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Amen. Blessed be the reading of God's word.
Well, today is indeed a special occasion, a day that we've been praying for, a day that we rejoice in, and the theme that I want to put before us all is our Father loves to give good gifts to His children, and as well, Christ gives good gifts to His church. And so I want to be brief, and I pray that I can be. Some of you know that's not my spiritual gift, so I ask for your patience, but it is something we didn't want to just hurry over. Okay, this is a very important and monumental day. The Lord has given us another officer in this church, here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, a new deacon to serve Christ and His body. And so we must always remember that this gift comes from God Himself. Okay, we didn't make this gift and give it to you, nor did Luke give himself to you, but Christ is giving him to us as a body. We've read these two passages already to kind of set the stage. A few months ago when we had the ordination of Victor and Jonathan, I covered in depth those passages. And so if you want a more lengthy treatment, I encourage you to go back there. But just a brief recap of those passages for us to help us set our minds to what we're doing before we lay hands on our brother and pray for him. From Acts 6, we saw that there was that great need in the church. Okay, in God's infinite wisdom and His marvelous and wonderful grace, the apostles exercised that godly discernment in this particular situation, which sets the precedent and the standard for all of Christ's churches until He returns. They first recognized that the pastors or shepherds must not neglect the word that God has called them to. Notice what it says in Acts 6, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." It wasn't that the elders were above serving that way, but the text says it was not desirable, it was not pleasing or acceptable, it was not right before God for the elders to neglect prayer and ministry of the Word. Therefore, God ordains men to serve as deacons, to take care of those legitimate things in the church. And so we must remember this, that the diaconate exists so that pastors may be faithful to that ministry, the ministry of the Word and prayer. And so other men, deacons, are installed within the church to serve the body. And so we remember, first, their service. The service of deacons is to the elders. Okay, they are serving the elders and taking care of those things so that the elders may dedicate to ministry of the Word and prayer. They would remove distractions from them. Second, deacons must remember that they are serving the body of Christ. They are serving our brothers and sisters here in this place. They are caring for those physical needs, the needs that arise on a momentary basis. So we see their role was one of service. We've read also the qualifications of deacon. We won't get into those in depth this morning. I encourage you to go back again. But just a few brief things from Acts 6 that we see that they must be men first of good reputation, men of good repute. They must have a good witness of reputation. As Pastor Al Martin says, they must have a good testimony by life and by lip. They must also be men full of the Holy Spirit. Okay? As another pastor said, deacons are not glorified table servers or church janitors. They are men endowed with and full of the Holy Spirit. They are spiritually minded men who can not only organize and complete tasks of service, but who can take on these tasks as men who are guided and sustained by the Holy Spirit. Further, they're men full of wisdom. Men who reflect Christ and His wisdom. It's a mature man, an honorable man before the Lord. Men who are capable men to carry out such tasks that God has called them to. And so not only godly men, but capable men and suited for this type of work. Men who are willing to be under authority, who are willing to work lock and step with the elders. And they must be men who will aid the elders to be given to prayer and ministry of the Word. Church, did you know that men who have their primary focus and understanding for being in this office, that they understand it to be to help pastors accomplish what God has called them to? Men who understand and value and appreciate the preaching of the Word of God in the local church. Men who will not be a thorn in the side of the elders or the church, but will sweetly aid them in their ministry. And the church will benefit from that ministry greatly. Now, we've read 1 Timothy 3. Titus 1 also expounds the rest of those qualifications. We won't get into those. But I simply want to set before you, as I did in January, that a deacon is a faithful servant. He's a good steward, and he's a living sacrifice. Remember the word which we translate deacon is where the word in the word Greek comes from, that we get serve or to minister. Thus, deacons must labor as servants of the church, serving her pastors, her members, all of God's people. In their service, they model the Lord Jesus Christ. And in their service, they provide practical service in fulfilling the church's mission. So they're a faithful servant. Second, they're a good steward. As the Word says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What are we to take from this? Well, a deacon must steward his life well first. He must live in godliness. He must lead his family well. He must ensure that he doesn't live in such a way that would ever disqualify him from the ministry. And here we see the importance of living out the gospel, even in the deacon's life. They must also steward their office well, exercising faithful service to Christ, and remember who it is that has called them into this office and what they have been called to do. Third and finally, a deacon is a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. There's a call to humility, a call to self-sacrifice. Now, we know these are true of all Christians, but being called into the office grants a greater responsibility. Not only must you give an account for your own person, but also how you labored in the church in this office. These things that we see from God's Word is what a deacon is called to be. And so now I want to move to the time where, Luke, I am giving you a direct charge. So I'll be glancing at you, but I want our people to hear this as well. I want to give you the same charge that I gave to Victor and Jonathan. And so, dear brother, I charge you first and foremost, do not neglect your primary ministry, which is your home, your family. Don't do it. Care for your bride, love her, be that man, that husband of Ephesians 5, caring for her, being gentle with her, feeding her with the Word of God, praying for her, cherishing her as Christ does with His own bride. And that's a difficult calling, but one nonetheless we must strive to attain. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now this is absolutely true for every man who has a wife here in this place. But even more so, those who are in public office have to be examples of this to the congregation. Brother, I further charge you, do not be negligent over your children. Remember that they are part of your primary ministry as well. Raise them in the admonition, the instruction of the Lord. Be diligent, be gentle, loving, firm, godly leader in your home. Spend very much time with them. Don't give your children what they want. Give them what they need according to the Word of God. Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Brother, if you fail to labor well in your own home, then you have disqualified yourself. And we have emphasized this over and over throughout the entire process of evaluation, how important it is that you maintain a faithful witness in your home. And we want to encourage you to do that, brother. Be that godly husband, godly father, and that faithful manager. Second, my dear brother, as we've heard, I charge you next to be that man of great faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Maintain always that vigilance, that diligent reverence for the Lord. Care for the garden which is your soul. Be a man who knows how to walk in the fear of the Lord. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9 says. Conduct yourself at all times, remembering that you are under the constant gaze of the one to whom we must give an account. He is the one who also leads his church and loves her and cherishes her, having offered himself for her sake. Therefore, my brother, labor diligently to have your heart, your mind, and your soul saturated with the Word of our Lord. Let the Word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. Let it abide in you. Let it permeate your thoughts. Let it reach every nook and cranny of your soul. Be a man also, brother, who lives out the fear of God but knows how to repent, who knows how to confess sin. Walk in that humility and be a faithful steward in the things of God. Whatever He has given to you, brother, He has given it to you and only you, and you must steward it well. Third, and I believe finally, brother, I charge you to remember your calling to be a faithful churchman in the house of God. That is to say, to love the local church of Christ, as we know you do, to serve her well, for in serving the church, you are serving Christ, and never forget that. When you're laboring on behalf of your brothers and sisters here, you are serving Christ, and He is pleased with that offer of sacrifice. These are God's people, and we must serve them well. They are His treasured possession, and it is a privilege, brother, to serve them. So be faithful as that churchman. Be that example for the brethren. Be devoted to the means of grace and esteem all things that come and flow from this local church. And remember, my brother, never forget there's a great reward of serving well in the diaconate. 1 Timothy 3:13, for those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. It is to say this, he who gives his life in service to Christ and His church in this capacity loses nothing but gains everything, both in this life and that life which is to come. Luke, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who will judge both the living and the dead, when He brings forth His kingdom, serve faithfully your family, serve faithfully the bride of Christ, seeking to be that man filled always with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, serving diligently with the hope of that reward which awaits you. Amen. Now, members of Emmanuel Baptist Church, again, I turn to you, and I want to give each of you a very specific charge, similar one that was given in January, but a very important one nonetheless. And so my charge first to you, dear brothers and sisters at Emmanuel Baptist Church, is to receive our brother as the gift that he is. All of our deacons, okay, are gifts of Christ to his local church, to this body. The Lord Jesus has made his will known to us through the voice of his people. Okay. Luke has been voted into this office, and so recognize him for that. Recognize his unique giftings and graces. Recognize that he's not going to look like the rest of our deacons either. Recognize, first and foremost, what deacons are biblically, and that will help us to never forget what a deacon is called to do. That is to say, don't treat them like pastors and don't treat them like church janitors. Remember what God has called them to. Remember who He is according to the Word of God. As one has said, we must maintain that the office of deacon is one of service. It is not the office of elder. They do not rule, they do not oversee, but rather they serve. They administer under the authority and guidance of the elders. They labor in those things which the elders have delegated to them. But that is to say as well, don't treat them like your servants either. Treat them according to the office which they occupy. Remember how God has given us the infinite wisdom that is His Word. Remember those proper God-ordained channels of how things should be carried out decently and in order in the Church of Christ. Likewise, as we think about the office of deacon, I charge each one of you, my brothers and sisters, members of this church, to be faithful churchmen as well. It's not just for the pastors or the elders. It's not just for the deacons, but everyone is called to serve. Everyone's called to give of themselves, to be faithful to that membership covenant that we have made together, to not forsake the gathering of this body of Christ, to benefit greatly from the work of your deacons and your pastors. You yourself are a vital part of this body and play that vital role and have been endowed with special and unique gifts and graces that only you possess. And they've been given to you from God, and you must use them now to serve this body well. Notice, it's not just the elders, it's not just the deacons who serve. All of God's people are called to serve. Some may ask, well, why do we need another deacon? We have five already. Why do we need six for a little church like this? Well, I think that's the wrong question. The question needs to be, why is Christ giving us another deacon? He is from the Lord. And so from that, we need to expect great things and attempt great things for our God. First, let's rejoice, okay, knowing that He is a gift from God to us. Look at the wonderful things that God is giving us. Does He not provide and care for us? But perhaps, and just perhaps, the Lord is giving His church the gifts they need for future endeavors. He is preparing us for something greater than perhaps we can see now. That is my offering of why I believe the Lord has given us another deacon. We do not know what the Lord is doing, but He is preparing us first by giving us these gifts. And so, church, this is not a call to now, well, we have another deacon, and now I'm just going to take a relax and be on autopilot. No, it's a call to action for all of us, to be prepared for the great things the Lord will do in us and through us, and to serve well. Notice as well that self-denial is not just for elders and deacons. It's for all of God's people. And so, we must recognize that these calls are for us, and the Lord will do great things, we believe. And finally, brothers and sisters, the last charge I will give to you this morning is to hold these men up and their families in prayer. Be men and women praying for these men, for these deacons, for your pastors as well. Uphold Luke and all of the deacons in your prayers. Seek to assist them in their responsibilities if you can. Be an encouragement to them. Encourage them for their work. Thank them for their work. It is often an unnoticed job that our deacons do, but they do many things, and we need to be thankful for that. And remember, help them to be able to give that service to the physical and spiritual needs of this church family, and help them to be able to do it with joy. Therefore, members of Emmanuel Baptist Church, I solemnly charge you as well, in the presence of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who will judge both the living and the dead when he brings his kingdom. Receive this man as the gift he is. Never forget what a deacon is. Uphold him earnestly in prayer and in everything that you do. May the word of God hold all authority. May God help us all to this task, and may we rejoice and be thankful at the gifts that our Father in heaven is giving to us, even this day, his children. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, once again, we thank you. We praise your holy name. We ask, even now, for help in rejoicing and having this joy that comes from God. Please bless our brother Luke. Bless Angela. Bless the girls. Lord, help them in this new endeavor which you have called him to. And we pray that you would bring much fruitfulness in his life, that you would keep him faithful and keep him qualified according to the word of God. We do ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Go back there.
Before we lay hands on Luke, I will read the vows to him for his response. Luke, do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
Yes.
Luke, do you believe with a clean conscience that God is calling you to serve in the office of deacon in his church?
Yes.
Luke, do you approve of the government, discipline, doctrine, and worship of Emmanuel Baptist Church?
Yes.
Luke, will you, with God's help and in subjection to the elders, faithfully discharge the duties of the deacon, striving to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and seeking to serve the physical and spiritual needs of the church in accordance with the Word of God?
Yes.
Finally, Luke, do you accept the office of deacon in this congregation and promise, in reliance on the grace of God, faithfully to perform all the duties thereof?
Yes.
Amen. Now, members, can I ask you to rise? This is your vow to Luke and to the church. Do you, the members of this church, acknowledge and receive this brother as a deacon? And do you promise to yield him all that honor and encouragement in the Lord, to which his office, according to the word of God and the constitution of this church, entitles him?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we simply respond to what was just preached to us from your own word. And we ask first, O God, that you would help our people. I pray that you would help our people to acknowledge Luke as the deacon of this church, but that they would not expect anything from him that would go beyond your word. That he has submitted to the examination and has met the biblical qualifications, and yet, O God, he is not a perfect man. And so help our people, O God, as they see him now come into this position, that they would not have any inordinate expectations of him, of his family, of his wife, but that they would love him and care for him, that they would support him, being patient with him. But, O God, now I lift up my brother, Luke Anderson. I pray, Lord, that you would help him, O God. I pray that you would protect him as he comes into this very important office. We know that the war of sin may become even greater for him going forward, that he would, in essence, become a target for Satan's schemes. And I pray that you would protect him. I pray that you would help him to acknowledge this in a way that would cause him to pursue holiness more and more, that he would be an appropriate and godly leader of his family and recognizing his first responsibility of his wife and of his children, giving them all the due that you have set forth that he is to uphold to them. And Lord, I pray, Lord, now, as he takes on the responsibility of this church, that you would help him to do those things, that he would be a willing support to his pastors to help them in their call to prayer and ministry of the word, and he would do this willingly and joyfully. And then he would turn around and also, Lord, be a willing servant of the members of this church, doing all of those things required with no expectation of thanks necessarily, but Lord, that you would help him in humility to serve you, Lord Jesus. And now, O God, we pray, and we pray to you, O Lord Jesus. We recognize that you have put this church in place as a lampstand here in Emmanuel, in Verona, Virginia. That you have set this church up as a lampstand. That you have placed in it the shepherds, the elders here. That you have placed these here. And now, O God, we have gone by biblical prescription and we have seen the people of this church affirm this man, and we recognize that this is synonymous with your affirmation. And so, O God and Lord Jesus, we ask for your help. We submit to your authority in this matter, and we affirm this one, my brother, Luke, as deacon of this local body. And we do it with joy, and we ask that you would help us now in the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.